You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we've got a great program for you today. Folks, Jill Zimmerman Lawrence, the deputy director of the Division of Aging at North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services, is with us to talk about Hurricane Helene and the response that the state is taking here. But before we get to her, folks, as always, I'm joined here in the studio with my esteemed production engineer here, partner in crime, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir, this week?
I'm doing great, Mike. I thought of you. You know, it's cooling down a little bit, seasonal change. I thought, you know, there's a guy who appreciates a change in the seasons, and his name is Mike.
2 years on the air together, and yes, you are fingering these things out about me for sure. Yes, I'm a seasonal man. Had a nice brisk walk this morning. Had the hooded sweatshirt on. Was still a little bit cool. I was like, all right, yeah, I'm feeling that mental switch start to get flicked in my head, which is really nice. Jason, I got to say, though, I'm definitely walking a little bit with a little bit more pep in my step this morning. By chance, did you happen to see me pull into the studio parking lot today?
I did not. Okay. Did you have your, finally, have you got your truck back?
At long last, Jason, the Ram 1500 lives. And yes, those of you who listen to the show on the regular know that I've had some issues with the truck, and it's, well, without revisiting all of it, let's just say it's been a long time, and I'm
speaking
back.
Speaking of seasons.
Speaking of seasons, yes, that must have been it. The cooler weather is coming, and I get back into my truck. Everything is working great, and I'll tell you, I definitely feel very appreciative, and you know, it's been thinking a lot about this in the last couple of days, Jason. You know, when we deal with inconveniences in life or you know, loss, whatever it might be, of different kinds, you know, you have a process where, you know, you can be angry about it, you can be in denial of it, but you know, if it's not something that you can change or that's going to change quickly, you've got to adapt to it. And how you approach that mentally and with your spirit is so important. And, you know, riding in my truck again and saying, okay, this is great to have the convenience back, you know, you realize that you really do take a lot for granted. You know, and being back in my own wheels, you know, it's kind of reminded me of when I got cataract surgery. You know, I had that issue for a while, and then when I got it done, I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. How did I go so long without it? You know, and in looking at this situation, again, without going into much detail, I realized just kind of had an opportunity to reconnect with myself, Jason, in the sense that I realize as I'm getting a little bit older, I'm getting better at certain things. And being a better person and being extra mindful of how I treat people has gotten more important to me. And I realize in this situation, I could have been and still could be a real jerk if I want to the people responsible for keeping my vehicle for so long. But I realize it's complicated, and at a certain point, and I'll be honest, it especially happened when Hurricane Helene hit our state, you know, I just let it go. And I said, you know what, you can be angry about it, you can be frustrated, you can be checking my LoJack app on my phone and to see are they really working on the truck like they say are right now, or you can just let it go and say, you know what, I'm just going to be the bigger person in the moment here and just roll with it. And I feel good about that, you know, realizing I've gotten so much better at this because the younger Mike never would have let this gone on. I would have made a big stink. I probably would have gotten myself into some trouble. And I'm saying, you know what, in this time when so many people in our state right now are dealing with real loss, right? Maybe actually there's a video of a mudslide on online right now of a guy losing his property, getting wiped out in front of him. And he literally says, there goes my truck. You know, I'm complaining about my truck in the shop and this guy just lost that and lost his livelihood. There are people who saw their family swept away, people who have loved ones who are still lost, unaccounted for. That's real loss, you know, and how can I complain about my little situation, as inconvenient as it was for you know, a period of time, when there's this going on, the least I can do as a person, I think, is to extend a little bit of grace. And we all need a little bit of grace because none of us are perfect. And to just say, you know what? I'm going to let this go. Not completely. I'm going to provide some some constructive feedback so that they get a bit better at what they do. But, you know, I'm not looking for anybody's head. I'm going to be a better person in that. And with that just comes a sense of a greater sense of appreciation for aging and for the wisdom that comes with aging as you're able to put things into more proper perspective, you know. And so I'm really grateful for that. And Jason, I'm also really grateful to have our guest with us today to talk about Hurricane Helene. And we're going to get into it and talk about what's gone on there and the response that the state is taking. But the timing of this is so important, even though it's all over, you know, the internet and social media and cable news. It's so important for good information to be getting out there. There is so much bad information, disinformation, misinformation that is confusing people, that is causing frustrations, that is making a terrible problem even worse. And so we need to know where to go for good information and where to get answers. And for those reasons, I am very pleased to have with us for the first time, what I hope will be many times in our show here, Jason, Jill Zimmerman Lawrence. She is the Deputy Director of the Division of Aging at North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. Jill, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike and Jason. I'm really excited to be here to talk about the response to Hurricane Helene.
So the storm obviously devastated Western North Carolina. Each day we're seeing more and we're learning more about how communities truly were impacted. Many of these counties, Jill, as you know, have large percentages of older adults, some living at home and others in institutional settings like nursing homes. Overall, how did the storm affect older adults here in North Carolina?
Yeah, so I would just want to start by saying that this storm has been catastrophic for so many North Carolinians, and the department is committed to doing everything we can to help individuals, families, and communities survive and recover. I just wanted to share a quick anecdote before going in. I'm sure that most of us that don't live in Western North Carolina at least have a memory that we cherish from there. I lived in Asheville for a few years after graduate school and worked for a 10-county region. And one of the memories, guys, that just keeps coming back to me is that once a month I would go up to Madison County, their health department, to meet with my colleagues up there. And I'd spend the rest of the day working from Zuma, which is a quirky little coffee shop in downtown Marshall right by the river. Those are fond, fond memories of bluegrass music, warm sunlight kind of streaming into the windows, and just enjoying and watching a close-knit and beloved community come together. And as I've been looking at the news articles, I saw a picture of people kind of cleaning out a building, and I instantly knew by the yellow and the stained glass that the image was from Zuma. And, you know, it really got to me. Our collective recovery will be one that requires that we band together and each of us do our part today and in the future. I'm really thankful to be here to talk with you all about how the Department of Health and Human Services is doing our part in the recovery. You know, North Carolina's rural communities have a greater proportion of older adults than our urban communities. Our older adults, like most folks in Western North Carolina, have been dramatically impacted by Hurricane Helene. And like you said, we're learning more each day about the impacts to our communities and the impacts to individuals. We're committed to supporting each community today and in the long haul as we transition to rebuilding and recovery. I just want to tell you a little bit about what the department is doing to protect our vulnerable populations, like our older adults and people with disabilities. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has been proactively reaching out to vulnerable individuals and their care providers. We're in ongoing contact with all 91 nursing homes and all 121 assisted living facilities and facilities that are serving individuals with disabilities. When we can't reach facilities by phone, we're dispatching ground and air assets. When we connect with these facilities and individuals, we evaluate and work to deliver the resources they need to support the safety and well-being of their residents and patients in conjunction with our national, state, and local partners. Individuals with high-risk medical conditions who are unable to remain in their homes are being moved to medical emergency sheltering or healthcare facilities. We're being proactive about identifying people that may need that extra support, and we're reaching out to our medically fragile residents that require procedures or treatments that are electricity dependent. And the state has opened specialized medical shelters to provide medical care and treatment in our rural communities. Additionally, our area agencies on aging are reaching out to their clients on the phone and through welfare checks to ensure they are safe and cared for. North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services staff are working as quickly as possible to ensure critical services and resources are available for those impacted by Hurricane Helene. For individuals who need dialysis, we're ensuring those services are available. We're in the process of sourcing additional oxygen supplies from multiple vendors, federal agencies, and neighboring states. Finally, all of our hospitals are open and serving the needs of Western North Carolina's residents.
That is great to hear, Jill. Thank you for that summary of that. And it's I have to say it's remarkable given the depth and the breadth of the impact of the storm on that region. The fact that there is so much that's been happening, and just the fact alone that our, you know, hospitals were up and running and, you know, operating on, you know, shifting from generators to commercial power relatively quick, certainly quicker than I ever expected, is pretty remarkable. And then all these other pieces are so important for people to know. When we return, we're going to continue our conversation with Jill Zimmerman Lawrence about Hurricane Helene and the recovery. This is ARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send us an email at aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Jill Zimmerman Lawrence. She's the Deputy Director of North Carolina's Division on Aging. That's a department or division that lives within North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services. We've been talking about Hurricane Helene, of course. Jill, we're learning more about the depth of the impact of the storm at this day by day. At this point, what would you say are the top priorities for the recovery effort? Not just those elements necessarily that relate to older adults, but just overall with recovery.
Absolutely. Thanks for that question, Mike. Right now, we're focusing on healthcare facilities and state and county shelters. We're ensuring they have water, food, medical supplies, and staffing needed to care for residents and patients. Our staff are working as quickly as possible to connect with communities and partners across the state to understand the impacts and provide support, resources, and care to North Carolinians. And we're going to be here for the long haul. We're working with state and federal partners to implement temporary flexibilities within our requirements, funding, and benefits so that those impacted can quickly access necessary care. Our priorities will shift as the recovery effort pivots, so too will our response. And I'll gladly get back to you, Mike, on how we will support the people of Western North Carolina and specifically our older adult population. The storm's really been catastrophic for so many North Carolinians, and the department is committed to doing everything we can to help individuals, families, and communities survive and recover today and in the future.
Well, we know that the recovery is certainly going to be long. We know the state, obviously, and the federal government has a role, nonprofits and others. People, too, just our listeners, continue to want to help, of course. At this moment that we're recording the show right now, accessibility to some of these affected areas is still a big challenge, and it's even being discouraged because it's so dangerous. What is the best way for our listeners to volunteer or to support the recovery efforts without actually being there on the ground, Jill?
Yeah, Mike, thanks so much for kind of teeing that up for me. It really is important that we have a coordinated volunteer disaster relief efforts. We strongly encourage neighbors to continue helping neighbors in impacted areas. if you wish to volunteer, you should register at www.nc.gov/volunteer. There you can be connected with the North Carolina volunteer organizations that are active in the Helene response. Please do not self-deploy to Western North Carolina unless you're working with an organization already providing services on the ground. For ways that you can help now, we ask that you please see the information on our website, which is ncdhhs.gov/Helene. There you can find evergreen information about volunteering, donating, and other ways to support the efforts. Additionally, our state is encouraging financial donations to the North Carolina Disaster Relief Fund at www.nc.gov/donate. The need for volunteers will be ongoing for at least a few months, and you can share information provided by our Department of Public Safety to help get these resources to those that need them. So again, thanks so much for everyone's interest, financial donations, providing also resources is really helpful, and getting connected if you do want to deploy to Western North Carolina to our active organizations is really helpful, but please don't self-deploy.
Jill, I really appreciate you sharing that information. I have to admit that, especially in the early days right after the storm hit, ARP North Carolina staff and volunteers were very, eager to help. We have staff based out there. We have great volunteers. We have members of our Volunteer Executive Council built out there. And it was honestly very humbling for us as a large organization to have to realize that there's not a whole lot we can do right now. We can call, we can check on people, we can't reach everybody right away, which was stressful. And then just knowing that we can't just have some folks jump in a car and go out and check on people, with the roads being blocked off. And we've been finding ways of being able to work with local organizations and the state, United Way, others, to help support efforts that are there. Folks should also know ARP Foundation, nationally is raising funds to help the affected states from this storm. And now also Milton, which just hit Florida as well. But we're there for the long haul with you guys, and we're certainly looking forward to helping recover in that area. Jill, I have to ask you about misinformation and the storm. We've been hearing a lot about this in the news recently. We know this has been hampering the effort. It's been making things more difficult, and it's certainly been making things way more stressful than they need to be right now for people. Can you please share for our listeners today, what are the best resources for truthful information, and why is this so important from your point of view, from your department's point of view?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Mike. Unfortunately, there are many false reports and misinformation is being shared on social media about the response to Hurricane Helene. For information on facts versus rumors about Hurricane Helene, we recommend that you visit ncdps.gov/Helene. The public should really get information about our storm response and impacts from trusted sources, like the State Emergency Response Team, the National Weather Service, and other federal, state, county, and local government sites. Again, a great resource is ncdps.gov/Helene or our website, ncdhhs.gov/Helene. Additionally, we say folks that are in the mountains, we recommend that you look for announcements from local officials to find out about water advisories and what actions you should take if there are contaminants in your water. It's important to stress that each of us can be part of the solution to misinformation. We ask that you be aware that artificial intelligence or AI-generated images are being circulated on social media that do not depict conditions on the ground. We ask that you do your part to stop the spread of rumors by doing three easy things. First, make sure you're finding trusted sources of information. And that second, you're sharing information only from those trusted sources. And then third, you might even want to discourage others from sharing information from unverified sources and questions where information is coming from. you know, question, where is this information coming from? Who is telling me this? As always, we want to make sure that folks know the emergency numbers that they should call in this disaster time. Call 911 for life-threatening emergencies. Call 211 or 1-888-892-1162 for shelters, food assistance, welfare checks, and additional storm recovery help. And then finally, we know that mental health is a big issue right now. We have stood up a disaster distress helpline that you can call or text. You should call 1-800-985-5990 for that. And, you know, if you are struggling or contemplating self-harm, please do not hesitate to call our crisis hotline, which is 988, just like you would call 911 for a physical emergency or a physical health emergency. Call 988 if you're having a mental health emergency.
That information, especially that last piece, is so important, Jill. And I've seen Health Secretary Cody Kinsley at these events giving the updates. And one thing he has said repeatedly now is something so important, and that is there is no right or wrong way to feel about the storm here, right? And I think that's true whether you're in that region right now dealing with crisis, or whether you're, you know, in the unaffected areas out here out east, and feeling helpless or feeling a sense of grief or trauma and wishing you could do something and all that. And that resource, 988, is so important for people to know. Obviously, 211, our friends at United Way doing an amazing job, I think, of fielding in all of these calls with people looking for help, trying to locate loved ones and all these things. And these are resources, folks. Speaking of, you know, speaking at the beginning of the program about being grateful, we need to be grateful that we have these resources, because some other states do not have them. And we have a pretty remarkable team here in North Carolina of people who know what they're doing and are certainly committed to making sure that people are protected, they get the resources and the help that they need, and that the recovery is going to be one that is going to be thorough and complete. And Jill, I really appreciate your time today. We look forward to having you on the program again, more not only related to Helene and to the recovery, but also other things. Of course, we are AARP Without Limits, and so hearing from our Division of Aging will be especially helpful to us. So thank you so much for your time today. That is a wrap, folks. I want to thank Jill Zimmerman Lawrence for being our guest today. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.